of the key things I treasure in this country is this power of vulnerability. And I know vulnerability and authenticity are both terms that
create this
credibility and all the illities. They cause people to go, yes. and the barriers go up. For them to roll their eyes because they've been so overused. But what I mean by this is there's a fundamental difference for me through my lens as a storyteller and as a business storyteller between what people are willing to share. And now that's also true within Germany. I've worked with plenty of Germans who, range from, yes, I'm going to share everything, including my knickers drawer, to this isn't professional and I'm going to stick to what's strictly necessary. So, of course, there's a big bandwidth there as well. But culturally speaking, what I really appreciate is that Brits, when they share and they overshare, which they do, in the last episode as well, is they make themselves tangible and human. And this is something, that holds true from, a clerk to the biggest CEO out there.
Sure.
So for somebody to say, look, Mark Masters being a great example because, he's so present here in Poole and where we live and work and also because he runs this amazing business now called You Are the Media, and he's got this incredibly successful podcast, reaching thousands of people every week. And he shared the story about, how he was never picked, ever. Nobody ever picked him, so he picked himself. And that was sort of the starting point for You Are the Media. I'm going to teach you how to get yourself out there on stage and being self-sufficient and working on yourself and on your mindset and, uplifting others. And it's now become this beautiful, beautiful project touching upon many people's lives, I'm sure. And think through that storytelling lens for a second. As a German, it's not embedded in German culture to make yourself vulnerable.
No, I agree. It's not.
So the first time I came across vulnerability, I must have been, because it wasn't a thing in my family, for sure. I must have been like 10. And there's this beautiful song that goes like, don't know much about algebra, don't know much about la la la. And so he lists all the things he's not good at. Yeah. And I'm like, why would you do that? But you're a grown up. Like, what's wrong with him? Yeah. And I couldn't understand because nobody in my family ever shared anything they couldn't do, surely. And that was the first time it sort of dawned on me that grown ups told other grown-ups and the world what they weren't so good at.
What a pivotal moment that must have been.
I was like, is he stupid? What's he doing? Because, that's not how I was raised. You don't admit to your shortcomings. Shortcomings, how do you spell that? Like, we don't have shortcomings. And so going from that and your parental home and all that upbringing to, actually, it's totally okay to just put myself out there, to make mistakes, to be imperfect, to just have a go.
Yes.
Has been a life changer.
Yes.
Also in terms of the quality of leads we now attract, talked about earlier as well. The more you share deep stuff, like meaningful stuff.
Yes.
The more it will resonate with the right people.
Yes.
And then it allows them to share and it creates this beautiful ripple effect.
Yes.
And that's wonderful.
That's beautifully put. Just occurred to me, you dialing back a little bit to the song you heard, I can't remember who sang it, but of course I know the song. You have such a beautiful voice. But then you met me and
what a wonderful world. Yeah. This could be.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And then you met me and you were introduced to self-deprecating humor. And you'd be like, why would you say that about yourself? Do you remember? And I remember you being so perplexed.
Down.
What's wrong with you? Why would you say you're crap at that? Or You could never do that or whatever. Yeah, or just making, why would you make jokes about yourself?
Yes.
And I remember your consternation.
It was alien to me.
Yeah. Yeah, because we met, you were 19, turned 19 when we...
Yeah, and I was at the possibly peak of my arrogance. And I was so insecure. Such a beautiful...
Yeah, we're both very different people today.
I'd just love to back and give myself a little hug.
Of course, yeah, absolutely. Tell her it's going to be fine. Yeah. Same for me.
So just relax a bit.
Yeah.
But yeah, so going from that and from this very stoic upbringing and like we're the best at everything, you know, with our surname and everything and, you know, creme de la creme and all the neighbours are... not as good or not on par or subpar. And you grow up with that and you think, what a sad, sad existence.
Yes, absolutely.
And now I just quite, I celebrate this understatement and also this self-deprecating sense of humour, which hasn't quite arrived in Germany yet.
No.
So whenever I go, hey, favourite client, how about we try something funny for Meme Friday or like Fun Fact Friday or something where you share a bit and they look at you as if you suggested, like, I don't know, a wife swap.
I was going to say we'll get our kit off.
They're like, but this is not professional. This is the first sentence. We'll leave any German's lips guaranteed. So how about a little sprinkle of humor? But this is not professional. We must be professional.
Yes.
And I go, define to me your understanding of professional, because I'm deeply professional.
Yes. Yes, you are.
But I'm allowing myself to show the goofy, fun, lighthearted, sparkly side of
absolutely.
Me as well.
For me, you must be professional all day long, but being, applying humor or showing vulnerability or making it personal in some way or another is the Velcro that makes people want to attach to your professionalism. Professionalism itself is a shiny sheet of steel.
Teflon.
It's Teflon. It's been polished to the max. And you cannot stick to it. You cannot engage with it.
Yes.
So I wanted to share something based on everything you've said that is sort of, for me, the other side of the coin. And that is, in my work, you'll often see in a corporate communication manual how companies, large and small, embrace error cultures.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, as a betting man, I'll bet next month's rent that there is not a single company in Germany that truthfully, wholeheartedly, and without retribution or without consequence, fully embraces an error culture where the MD, managing director, stands up and goes, I shit the bed. I had a great idea. I ran with it. We invested 100,000. Didn't work. Sorry, guys. I don't believe it, because that is not German. I think, broadly speaking, I think for the vast majority of countries, whether they're German or not, that is simply not how business is done. But I think specifically in Germany, because everything emanates through or is seen through the prism of professionalism. Okay, everybody makes mistakes, but you're not allowed to make mistakes. And you're certainly not celebrated for making mistakes. I do not believe it.
Yeah, unless they call them fuck-up nights.
Fuck-up nights?
Yeah, what's where that? They all get together and share their fails. And it's like so uplifting. And that's where I spang 50,000 on the whatever. And
really?
Yeah, but I totally agree. And this is where I see so many corporate influencer programs fail, because, you know, HR or even the executives have this great shiny concept of sending their employees out there and turning them into personal brands on LinkedIn to get a bit of traction. And then, yay, and great, and the budget's there, and hooray, and they onboard me, and everything's fantastic, with or without my help.
Yeah.
And then you train them, and you support them, and you give them everything they need, have the proper toolkit to get going, and then the day arrives where they're supposed to submit their first post or upload their first whatever carousel or content piece, and they're like, is it today? But no, I've got so much to do today. Let's do it after the trade show of 2027, because they're so scared.
Yes.
And I've spoken to other professionals working with corporates as well, again, on the error culture.
Yes.
A word I hate, error culture.
Yeah.
And it's the same feeling that they're so terrified of misstepping or misrepresenting or just getting it wrong, right? Saying the wrong thing, that they don't start. So, yes, really, really important. Yeah. This, I'll just, you know, have a go, you know, like within obviously a structure, within a framework.
Yeah.
We're all on the same page as to what you can and cannot share.
Sure.
And you can't disclose any ongoing, whatever, investigations or,
no, sure.
or sensitive data or whatever.
Yeah.
But there's so much you can do.
Yeah.
But by the time it reaches everyone to, you know, give them their final approval for that content piece, the moment's passed.
Yeah, sure.
And it's so watered down and diluted. So anyway, I digress. But yes, absolutely, massively important.
Wonderful. That's great.
So, yeah. So I just mentioned error because I always stumble. Is there any other words you find particularly difficult to say in German? Because you're quite fluent, aren't you?
Fast akzentfrei. Oh, no, I didn't want to play this game because I'm going to embarrass myself for all of eternity.
Come on, just give us one.
Okay.
So I know.
Oh, yeah, I know you know.
No, so I can't bad. Do that one because that's really bad.
It's really bad.
We can swear all day long in English, but when it's my own language, they're really bad words.
So pestle and mortar in German, if you know what one of those is, a little bowl with a little grinding stick and you grind it. Okay, what we call that in German, I cannot pronounce.
Mörser.
Scheiße. Yes, that's what.
Easy.
Because when I say it, it sounds awful.
It sounds bad.
It sounds really bad.
So don't say it, because for German listeners, this will be really highly offensive.
Yeah, because I'll never forget the first time I said it, and Katie looked at me and was like, what did you just say? I was like, yeah.
It's the word for, how you say it is the word for the female
undercarriage.
Sensual bits.
Sensual bits. Look at me, I'm just like, I've gone all fetal, like, oh my goodness
me. To quote my favourite character in Friday Night Dinner.
Yes, we're not going to do that. I'm not even going to try and risk it.
No.
Go on, give me some examples of words that I can't pronounce well.
Hülle, Hölle.
Hülle, Hölle.
Hülle.
Hülle.
Ah, yes, kann er.
Nur 30 Jahre gedauert hier, ne?
Yeah, I still struggle sometimes, but hey, people find me cute. Or at least Australian.
Or South Africa.
Or South Africa.
That's hilarious. That's another topic for another time, actually.
Yeah, anyway.
Yeah.
Awesome.
I'll give it some thought to words that I struggle with. It's Schäfer. Efer.
Yeah, or do it like where we come from, and then air is actually an E. Schäfer.
Or just do what your mother does. Like, you get the town like Santon. She can't pronounce it.
Okay, well, it's a Santon. I'm gonna wrap this up.
don't ever go to the Santon with your mother, because it's hilarious. You'll never get there.
Because it's
we come in at Santon. Was? Wo denn?
Anyway,
I love you, Mum.
Yeah. That's why there's so much water between you.
Hi, Ola. Yeah, there's only like 750 miles between us.
No, we love you if you're listening. Anyway, it's a wrap, I suppose.
Awesome.
See you next week.